Bah!
John, you missed that magic moment yesterday when Bergman and Hoare had this brilliant idea that we're going to play snoring under my conversation about the Rams. Momo wasn't here yet, and I got so damn pissed off, I just went to break.
All right, I have listened to this segment.
Oh,
I went back
really?
And listened to the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, and I have several thoughts. Do you want to start there, or do you want to start with, like, there's so much.
Yeah,
going
I know,
on.
It's crazy.
It
you missed so much yesterday.
Since the last time I saw you, I have been on 12 flights, 31 bus rides.
Wow.
And in 7 different arenas.
Yeah.
Since the last time I talked to you. But, all right, so let me weigh in on the thing. By the way, happy birthday, Jorge. I know I'm a day late.
You.
I know
thank
it was
you.
Your
thank
birthday
you.
Yesterday.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I thought that not only were you justified, Mason, but I think Bergman should be suspended for his behavior on yesterday's show. I thought that was atrocious. First of all, Greg, he was explaining it. He was, I mean, you're going to get to the good stuff. Do you know how many things are going on? And hosting a show by yourself is really hard. So far be it from me to defend Mason. But first of all, you didn't even jump on the fact that he completely changed positions on Matthew Stafford. You know, Mason has been Matthew Stafford fan number one. And yesterday he totally changed. You just didn't notice it because you were too busy playing snoring sounds and playing grab ass with Jorge. Mace, I thought your points about the Rams were good. I wanted to hear more of them until those clowns started playing snoring sounds. I'm completely with you.
Thank you. I feel completely vindicated. Completely vindicated. Yeah, now, you thought my Matthew Stafford position changed, right?
I did, and I thought rightfully so. But here, I have a take on a lot of the things. Okay, so do you want
to
start?
Yeah, I mean, you haven't gotten a chance to react to a bunch of stuff.
Okay, do you want to start Dodgers, Lakers, Rams, or USC? Since we're talking Rams, you want to start Rams?
Yeah, let's start Rams.
Okay. I'm going to the Ram game this week. If I can find a parking
nice.
Pass. I've got
nice.
Three. I got three lines in the water. If one of them comes through, I should be good. All right. I know everybody's really down on the Rams, and yesterday you asked the question, do they even make the playoffs? I think they do because I think they're going to win 3 more games and get to 10.
Yes.
And they have a 2-game gap between the team that would knock them out. So I think they're going to get in. But if they keep playing like they're playing now, they're not going anywhere. They'll lose in the first round.
Yes, I
but
agree.
Isn't it as simple as this? It's actually two parts, but they're related. All right. If the Rams would fix 2 things, I think they'd go back to the way they were playing earlier in the year when they blew out Tampa Bay.
Okay.
This is it. This is a whole ball game. Stop turning the ball over.
Yep.
I mean, stop it. It's killing you. And the other thing is get the special teams right. But part of getting the special teams right is the special teams keep turning it over. I don't get why Stafford takes the chances that he takes sometimes. But doesn't it seem like it's a correctable problem? He throws a better ball than Jared Goff. He's got better weapons than Jared Goff. Why does he turn it over so much?
Just the fact that you're mentioning Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford in the same sentence is a very bad sign. It's a very bad sign.
Well, that's what Rams fans are seeing because we've seen this movie before.
Yeah, I mean, he has been absolutely awful now 3 weeks in a row. And, you know, the fumble down low, the interception. I mean, we decided yesterday the record for consecutive games with a pick 6 is 4. He would have a chance to tie Matt Schaub if he was able to do it this week. That's a horrible record to tie. I mean, I think Matthew Stafford, you know, and we had this number yesterday, which is scary. And I'd heard it before, and I sort of dismissed it. But Matthew Stafford in Detroit had an 8-68 record against teams with winning records. So far, he's got a 1-4 record against teams with winning records here in Los Angeles. That scares me a little bit. I mean, this was the anointed guy. This was Sean McVay's
right, but doesn't
guy.
It, okay, doesn't it mostly all go away if he just stops turning it over? It seems to me that this is literally an identifiable problem that is fixable. Stop it. Stop turning the ball over. It's not like the running backs are fumbling.
Nope.
You know, occasionally he'll miss an open receiver. But even when he does that, The Rams are still in it. They were in that Green Bay game until he turned it over. The sure. Niner game never got started because he turned it over twice in the first 5 minutes. Bergman, remember when DTR got to UCLA? And
yes.
You showed all these signs, these flashes of brilliance, that he was the modern-day quarterback who could run and pass. But him and his stupid small hands kept turning the ball over. Once he
still
figured
does.
That out, no, but once he limited the turnovers, he became a completely different player. I don't know why Stafford thinks he has to take chances. That in some, and I'm not being totally
well, but,
fair to
but
him,
John, like, it's for, not even just taking chances. He's just been inaccurate. I mean, even when guys are open, he's been thrown behind him or into the turf. I mean, he's just not been accurate the last 3 weeks, and that's one of the reasons why we've seen the pick sixes and the five interceptions in 3 weeks.
The one thing I will say about it is if he could fix that and if the Rams could stop, like, I don't want to start seeing undrafted guys from Cal Poly returning kickoffs and punts anymore. All right. It's too important. But the ball's too important. Let Cooper Kupp go out and catch punts.
I completely agree. I do not want to see J.J. Koski again, period. I don't want to see him in the game. Cooper Kupp is your safety. He's always going to be able to make that fair catch. He's not going to be a return guy, but I don't want to see J.J. Koski out there.
I've told the story many times on the show, but when we were at the other place, I used to do a show with Jim Mora, the old
yes.
Saints and Indianapolis Colts show. And after any game, he told me if you gave him the stat sheet, he could circle the turnover margin and he could tell you who won the game. He
yeah.
said, it's that important. It's that important. You can't turn. And the Rams are killing themselves with these turnovers. Right, you know, Mace, these games have all been close.
Yes.
Until Matt Stafford turns it over. And his turnovers are brutal. He's got 3 weeks in a row with a pick six. I mean, just if he needs to just relax. If it's not there, it's not the worst thing in the world if you dump it off to your running back or even if you take a sack. But if you turn it over, we're dead.
Well, what I'm hoping, John, is, and you'll be at this game on Sunday, what I'm hoping is this is a nice, soft spot. And by the way, Jacksonville did beat Buffalo a couple of weeks ago, but a nice, soft
right.
spot for Stafford to sort of regain his groove a little bit. Because through the first 8 weeks of the season, he was the number one quarterback in the league by QBR and by quarterback rating. I mean, he was on a tear. It's these last three games that have been a disaster. So it is there. He's just got to refine it again. And maybe against Jacksonville is the place where that's going to work. And you mentioned special teams. Returns terrible. Kick coverage has been terrible. Johnny Hecker has regressed. He's not the guy we've seen in the past. Matt Gay has been great. Matt Gay makes every kick, but Johnny Hecker isn't the guy he used to be. So there are a lot of issues. I saw Lindsay Theory tweet during the game on Sunday that one of the big losses that the Rams had in the last couple of years was John Fossil, who was the special teams coach, who went to Dallas. I think it was the same year Zuerlein went to Dallas. But one of the best
right.
special teams coaches in the league, and he would be making a difference right now.
I've had many coaches over the years tell me, you're not going to necessarily win any games with your special teams, but you can lose them. The Rams have lost a couple of games this year based on doing dumb special team stuff. But if
yep.
they just get a handle on the turnovers, I think it's a completely different thing. Now, here's the counter. Here's the other side of it.
Okay.
I just got a text from our buddy Kelvin Washington, who, as you
hey,
know, is from
Kelvin.
Detroit. All right. He says, he disagrees with me. He says, no, this is who Stafford is. He makes amazing throws, but he overthrows people and makes bad decisions. He's not the guy you're going to say you're going to win everything because of him. Trust me, I saw all his game as a Lions fan. He turns it over at terrible times. Talented, but you can't lean or rely on him. He has to be part of the recipe, not the main ingredient. And Mace, I'm fine with that if he's part of the recipe. He doesn't necessarily need to win the game for you. You've got a really good play caller, and I know McVay's taking a lot of heat this week too, but you've got a decent running back in Darrell Henderson who can catch and run the ball. You've got talented wide receivers. If it's not there, live to play another day. Stop turning it over, for God's sakes. It's every week.
Yeah.
And if he stopped that, then I think the Rams are in all these games. And you know, it's the same thing, like, if we're going to pivot to the Lakers, who I've been yeah. with, is there are stretches, Mace, and this is true of the Rams, too, where you watch them and go, wow.
Yeah, they could be really
play
good.
Like that all the time,
yep.
they could be great. And then they revert back to this. The Lakers' issue is, and you guys can, I obviously I've seen every game. You guys can blame anybody you want. You can blame AD for taking too many outside shots. A lot of people blaming Russ. The people blaming Russ haven't been watching.
Yeah, I haven't been watching the last few games.
He's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
First of all, I would say to Laker fans, you can only judge. They're 11-11. You can only judge 11 of those games because LeBron didn't play in 11 of them. So we're really only talking about, if LeBron doesn't play in the playoffs, we're not winning the title anyway.
Right, but you're pointing out that they're 5-6 or 6-5 with LeBron.
Right. So that's
so they're
the
not
game,
even winning
the,
with LeBron.
That's the games I'm focusing on. And the reason I would I would argue they're not winning, you know, just like the Rams have to fix the turnovers, is the only thing that matters right now to the Lakers is to fix their defense.
Glad you
they
said
give
that.
Up way too many points in the paint. The most encouraging thing about the Detroit game the other night was that they finally, even though Detroit's terrible, they finally straightened that out. Here's what happens in every single Laker game. Anthony Davis is a really good defensive player and a really good shot blocker. So these other coaches are smart. They'll take whoever Anthony Davis is guarding and they'll pull that guy out to the perimeter.
Yep.
And then they'll go get a layup. The other guys have to do a better job of stopping penetration. And if they don't fix the defense, they'll never get this thing going.
Agreed.
And if they do, Mace, I've seen them play in stretches this year where you're like, and I'm still here. I know I'm like the last one on this island. But I think the Warriors and the Suns are in a class by themselves. By the way, those two play tonight.
Yeah.
Which should be a really good game on TNT. One of them's 18-2. The other one's 17-3. I think those two teams are way above every other team in the league. I mean, I think it's those two and then the other 28 below them. But I'm not sure I would pick another team in the West to beat the Lakers in a seven-game series if the Lakers can fix their defense.
Okay, so let me point something out about the defense. So this is Frank Vogel's calling card. He is a coach
right.
that is able to mold a defense. He did that last year.
Number one last year, number two 2 years ago.
Yeah, did that in 2020 in the bubble season. You know what? They have, and this is a big Bergman thing, they've overcorrected. They have too many shooters and not enough guys who are just quote-unquote good at defense. Rajon Rondo, not good at defense. Avery Bradley, actually overrated defender. Malik Monk, not good at defense.
Well, by the way,
Wayne Ellington, not good at defense. Carmelo, not good at defense.
Did you hear about Avery Bradley, by the way?
No.
Avery Bradley out indefinitely with a hand thing. So
oh,
he
wow.
will not play tonight. They're going to re-examine him when he gets back. So it'll be interesting to see who they put in there. Maybe they put THT in there. But whoever they put in there better play defense. Because as they've shown, they could lose to anybody if they don't defend.
I'd put Austin Reeves in there. That kid plays defense.
Right. THT can too.
Yeah, THT's great.
I wouldn't mind. I hope it's one of those guys. But here's the thing that I'll say about the Rams and I'll say about the Lakers. Aren't those both correctable problems? Things that in time they can fix.
So in the case of the Rams, it all comes down to one guy. It's what's going on inside Matthew Stafford's head. Can he fix it? I mean, the Rams, you could say the Rams need to correct turn. It's Matthew Stafford that needs to correct the turnover issue. Does he have that in him? Or has he just gone south? We're going to find out on Sunday. Then we're going to find out in Arizona, which is just a monster tough game. In the case of the Lakers, can they fix it, given the fact that they've got a lot of guys on the roster who just aren't good at defense? KCP is gone. Alex Caruso is gone. Kuzma became a good defender last year. The defensive-minded guys aren't on that roster anymore, and you can't count on Ellington or Malik Monk or guys like that to play good defense no matter how much scheming you do.
I think that, though, as you've said many, many times on the show, defense is effort. defense is, if you have the right scheme, like LeBron can be an elite defender. He's been like four times all defense.
Sure.
AD is an elite defender. Westbrook can defend, but you have to marry yourself to it. You have to say, I'm not giving up a layup no matter what. And they've got to also come up with schemes that keep Anthony Davis near the basket, because when he's near the basket, he just protects everything. So they've got time. And I still wouldn't pick a team to beat him in the West in a seven-game series other than the Suns and the Warriors. And the Suns and the Warriors aren't going to always be this elite. They're both
I'm not sure about the Warriors. They still don't even have Clay back. They still don't even have James Wiseman back.
Do you think the Warriors win tonight?
Yes, I do. I do.
I don't.
I'll tell you why coming up next. Also, hey, we've got a brand new mecca, John. A brand new mecca. It is the mecca of college football as a UCLA guy. I want to get your reaction to Lincoln Riley, new head coach at USC, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
John tried to use a big word today. Bergman, what is the word that you tried to use before the show?
I can't say it, man. Anonymity. Anonymity.
Do you mean anonymity?
Anonymity. Anonymity. Yeah, that's
but I
a tough
love
one.
Anonymity.
Like, if you've lost your anonymity, that right. means you can't go places anymore because you're too famous.
But
right,
I
like
love
Mason.
Anonymity.
Anonymity.
That's classic.
Pandemic.
That's classic.
Pandemic is a good one.
So
the pandemic.
Let me ask you something else, John. While I brought this up yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it. So I go to the one place I go every single day, first thing in the morning, is I go to Starbucks and I get my reduced fat turkey bacon cheddar sandwich. So the girl at the Starbucks on the drive-through window, and when I see her at the window, she normally calls me hun. Okay, hun, I'll get that for you. Hun, that'll be okay. $4.25 at the window. Today, she said, okay, sweetie, $4.25 at the window. I'm like, where are you getting these terms of endearment? I don't even know you. Why are you calling me hun and sweetie?
All right, I have a theory.
Okay.
Have you ever met her? Do you know what her name is? Like, have you
nope.
ever said, hey, I'm Steve, and she said, hey.
Nope, never.
She probably thinks people that use terms like that think they should know your name, but don't. You and I use the word man in that case. Like,
hey,
if somebody
man.
Walks up to us and goes, hey, Mason, good to see you here. Thanks, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I do use that.
Yeah.
But hun and sweetie are not terms I want to hear at the drive-thru window.
It's a little weird, but that's where I think it's coming from.
I think it it should be, sir, pull up to the window. I will have your order for you.
You're not a sir.
I am a sir.
Come on, man. You're not a sir.
I am a sir.
It's conversational. It's just conversational.
It's
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's not conversational. It's an overly familiar term that she should not be using with me.
What if you say someone, you said man before. What about buddy? Pal.
Hey, buddy. Hey, pal.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, what's wrong with that? Same
Different
stuff.
Different than hun high and roller. Sweetie. Hey, high roller. Exactly.
Exactly.
Foo. Yeah, Jorge uses foo.
What's up, foo?
So John, tonight you mentioned it, gigantic game between the two best teams in the NBA. Really, record they're the two best teams in the NBA. And I love Golden State tonight. The reason I love Golden State is that Phoenix runs that pick and roll so often. They've obviously got Devin Booker and Chris Paul is leading the league in assists, and Golden State has got the most switchable defense in the league. They switch virtually all the time on every pick and roll and do it really well. They are a top five defense in the NBA. I think that's one of the – we all talk about Steph. I think that's one of the unsung features of that Golden State team is their switchability-ness. I'll just make up a word, switchability-ness, and the fact that they're top five in defense. Oh, you're right. switchability would have been fine.
Switchability. Okay, here's why I think Phoenix wins tonight. Number one, injuries. Damian Lee out. Andre Iguodala out for the Warriors. Of course, Klay is out.
Right.
But Damian Lee and Andre Iguodala are two of those guys who are key to that switchability you're talking about. Number two, the game means way more to Phoenix, and it's in Phoenix.
Why is that?
The Warrior, because everybody expects the Warriors are a championship-level team. They've won, what is it, three of the last five, right?
Correct.
Or three of the last six.
Three of six, yeah.
Yeah, they, you know, they're the team, they're already a proven, if this was a heavyweight fight, they would be the one with the belt.
Phoenix, by the way, I undersold, Golden State is the number one defensive rating in the league.
Yeah, and part of the reason why is they've used those interchangeable parts, that switchability you're talking about, ever since Draymond. You know, Draymond might be the best defender in the league.
He's he's key to the whole thing. He's key to the switchability.
But I just think that for Phoenix, you know, they play again on Friday.
Oh, wow.
These two teams do.
Big week.
I think this time, Phoenix has a 16-game winning streak. I think that Monty Williams will play his guys longer. I think that Devin Booker is maybe the hottest shooting guard in the NBA. So I like Phoenix tonight. I would pick Golden State on Friday, but I think Phoenix wins tonight, mainly because no Damian Lee, no Iguodala. Now, because of that, though, Jordan Poole might go off.
And he's
been
great.
He's going to get a lot more minutes. Yeah, but they're going to have to play some other people that don't normally play. They have a rookie named Moses Moody who's pretty good. He's going to get some Juan Toscano-Anderson's probably going to play a lot tonight. I'm a little bummed in that Michael and I, our game, and we have Kings-Lakers for you tonight at 7, is head-to-head with that game. We start at the exact same time.
So Linus, Phoenix minus 3.5. John, if I had any mythical money, I would bet it on the Golden State Warriors plus 3.5.
Let's talk about that for a second.
I knew. I was
without
just walking
doubt,
you up to it.
Without a doubt, the stupidest bet you have ever made since you and I met.
Love the bet. I would make it again.
What were you thinking? The risk-reward was way out of... Explain how you lost all your mythical
money. Okay. So I bet all my money on the fact that none of the three games on Thanksgiving would go to overtime. I had about $82,000.
But explain the odds.
And I'm like, what are the odds that there's... It's 1-7. What are the odds that one of these games goes into overtime? There's maybe one every weekend that goes into overtime. But it's still relatively rare. Less than 5% of games go to overtime. So I bet all my money, $82,000 mythical dollars, on the fact that there would be no overtime games. And damn you, Raiders and Cowboys, you went to overtime. So I lost everything. I was going to just add $12,000 to my mythical money totals. Instead, I lost everything.
Correct. If the odds were reversed, I would have understood it.
Sure.
If you were betting 12 to win 81. But betting 81 to win 12, what's the point?
$12,000 mythical dollars is significant.
Bergman, you know what I'm saying, right?
I do. It's like Sean McVay running the ball up the middle on third down to try and get a first down at the end of the game when they're down by 11.
Shut up. Don't even bring up that.
No, not really.
Sean McVay play call.
It's awful.
Or by the way, when he went for it on his own 29.
Own 29,
In that situation, a punt is a good play.
Yeah.
You know, to put them down at the other end. I just – the risk-reward of that was way, way out of whack.
You know what I say? You live and learn, John. It's near the end of the year. Bergman, did you ride your Peloton yesterday?
I rode it yesterday, and I rode it today on the 30th for 18 times in the month. I have $25,000 mythical dollars, and I won Game of Games yesterday, so I have $219,000.
$219,000. Ireland,
Bergman,
you're at
how much
70.
You have 70,
yeah,
Ireland.
Okay, so that you know what that means.
You're gonna bet it
time
all.
Time for the parlay
mania.
King.
See, but like these parlays is what's ruining
it's
you.
Only, but that's the only way I can catch you.
No, if you bet like 20, 30K, you
bet
can
20,
make
30K.
Yeah.
Make it a chunk at a time.
20, 30K. New, new, new.
No, I'm gonna do a 12-team parlay with everybody.
Exactly. Somebody sent me a note today that some guy, all based on rebounds in the NBA last night, hit like $191,000 parlay. That's what
wow.
I need. $191,000 parlay.
That is what you need.
Yeah, Horry's alive. He's got 96,000.
All right, hey, Horry, let's catch him.
You know what? Give me 40 on the Lakers tonight.
Oh, 40 on the Lakers tonight.
See,
what is the line on
bet.
That game?
That's how
I don't
you
know.
Bet,
just
John.
Give me 40 on the Lakers tonight.
Lakers minus four.
I can't bet basketball even as a joke.
Sure.
Yeah, Lakers minus four. And how much are you betting,
I
Jorge?
I like your bet, Jorge.
40.
$40,000.
$40,000.
That will put
again,
you
on the up. Lakers, who just lost a game to Sacramento.
In triple overtime.
They should have won that game. That was super frustrating. Like a lot of losses this year, they just couldn't come up with key defensive stops. Jorge, I like you winning tonight. I think they wake up and win. I just think they're tired of here. We're gonna find out if everybody's pointing fingers at every from outside the organization. They really believe, Mace, they do.
Yeah.
That they just need time. They think that they need, if you study LeBron's teams historically,
yep,
they don't start well. They normally first 20 games are bad, and he's only played 11 games. So let's see it over the next 10 games.
Look, I don't want to panic, John, but fine. I think that team's going to wind up, let's say, 4 games over 500, 45 wins.
Maybe, but they're being built to do something in the postseason.
But 45 wins, maybe you're in the play-in.
Right. Well, for example, last year they were in the play-in. Okay.
Yeah.
And had Anthony Davis not got hurt, they were up 2-1 on Phoenix. I think they win that series and probably go back to the finals like Phoenix did. But those guys got hurt.
So do you think
if
you think those guys didn't get hurt, that a lot of them would be back this year? Like Caruso would have been back this year, possibly even Kuzma, maybe Montrez. Any of those guys, if they got further in the playoffs?
I do. I think that they maybe would have run it back. But they don't – LeBron's at the end of his career.
Yes.
They don't have time to figure that out. They've got the line I keep stealing from somebody is, this is not a team built for 10 years. It's built for 10 months.
Who are you stealing from?
So, I don't know.
You should give credit to him.
But
you're just stealing.
I know.
Plagiarism. Plagiarism.
Right, whoever I stole that from, reach out to me and tell me to give you credit.
Yes, exactly.
Now watch everybody will.
All right. Ireland,
I'm not giving up on him yet.
Coming up next, the Mecca of college football again. Finally, Mike Bone, the home run hire. We will get into that. Plus, the Dodgers news that could come down today during our show. That's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, there it is, John. We are officially back. The USC Trojans, Mike Bone. This guy, we underestimated him, but somehow completely under the radar was able to land Lincoln Riley as head coach. It's amazing. We mentioned so many names leading up to this. Never did I hear Lincoln Riley's name even come up, John.
And how did they do that? How did they manage to keep that quiet? That's one of the big secrets in these two college football stories, Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley. Normally all these reporters know something.
Sure.
And until it was going down, nobody knew anything. I think it's a transcendent hire. I think it's the biggest hire.
Transcendent. I love that.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest hire at USC ever. I think it's as big of a hire in the Pac-12 as there's ever been. And the one thing I will say is if you're a USC fan, and as you know, Mace, I'm friends with a lot of them. I live
yes.
on the street loaded with USC.
You are
fans.
Not one, though.
No, I'm a UCLA grad.
Yes.
I will say this. Pete Carroll, in his first year, was 6-6. You have to give Lincoln Riley a little time. USC has a very easy schedule next year, but you can't expect him to come in here and win 10 or 11 games right out of the gate. You got to give him time to get his people in here. You got to give him time to build a staff. You got to get by the way, a defensive coordinator, because as you know, they don't play any defense in the Big 12. He won a lot of games there. He had an unbelievable record, but he won a lot of games, 50 to 42. So he's got some work to do, but I love this hire. And my favorite thing about it, he's 38. So we used to play the game, and you used to shout me down about it. I used to say, he needs to call Dabo. He needs to call Nick Saban. He needs to make these people say no. If I would have said to you, he needs to call Lincoln Riley, you would have creamed me. You would have said,
yeah, I would have said that's
Riley's
not realistic
not
at all.
Lincoln Riley's not taking this job. Why do you keep bringing up Lincoln? I give Mike Bohn a ton of credit. And by the way, he and Carol Folt, their reputations, even among the USC community, have been saved by this. My USC friends thought Carol Folt and Mike Bohn didn't get it. Thought that they were part of the problem rather than part of the solution.
Yep.
I don't know if I've ever seen now what they've done, what Carol Folt and Mike Bohn have done by hiring Lincoln Riley, is they've moved all the onus onto the field. Now you can say, okay, they did their job. They get it. Now it's up to Lincoln Riley. And I think the guy's great. And the best news is he's 38. So yeah. I don't know. Okay, so let's play a game. I don't know if I would have said to you, okay, when I've done this on the air with you before. Okay, you can get anybody.
Yep.
All right? You can get anybody to take the USC job. And so the first name we would all say is Saban.
Yep.
But Saban's in his 60s.
Yeah.
I'm not
70,
sure Lincoln,
I think. Yeah.
I'm not sure Lincoln Riley's not a better hire than Saban would have been.
I think so. I mean, if you're looking to build something from the ground up, and let's face it, this isn't really a rebuild as much as it's a reset. You get the 38-year-old guy who feels like he's a contemporary. I mean, he's a millennial. Let's face it. They hired a millennial head coach in the same way the Rams hired Sean McVay, a millennial head coach. A much better opportunity, I think, to connect with kids in that living room than a 70-year-old guy who walks without being ageist. I mean, here's a young, upbeat, energetic, enthusiastic guy with a 55-10 track record coming into your house. I mean, that counts for something. And, John, I don't know if this is a wait and see what happens for 2022. I mean, you see the way the recruits have been decommitting. You see the way Oklahoma guys have been entering the transfer portal. You wonder what this 2022 recruiting class, which was going to be dismal, is going to be now that Lincoln Riley is the head coach. I said yesterday, and I believe it, here's a sneak preview, USC versus Oregon in next year's Pac-12 championship game.
I agree with you. I think that is probably the Pac-12 championship. Because if nothing else, look at the landscape. All right? UCLA is better.
Yeah.
But I mean, half the UCLA fans, and I'm including Bergman in this, want Chip Kelly to be fired.
Yeah, Bergman wants
I'm right out on the fence. I'm not sure
he's
whether
not
or
going
not they
anywhere.
Should bring him back.
He's not going
8-4,
anywhere.
I agree you can't run him out 8-4 after beating USC.
USC doesn't matter. It's about it's going to be 9-4 after the bowl game, and their offense is good. It's the defense that's bad. Yeah, there's no chance.
Well, but okay, so who else in the Pac-12 South are you scared of? All right, the Arizona schools, I mean, Herm says he thinks he's coming back, but they're in an investigation.
Yeah, there's an investigation there, yeah.
Arizona's terrible. Colorado's terrible.
Utah's decent.
So all USC has to do is beat Utah? And by the way, Mace, look at their schedule. Next year, they don't play Oregon. They don't play Washington. They get Notre Dame at the Coliseum. And Notre Dame's going to have a new coach. I mean, he'll have a good record, but I'm just saying, Pete Carroll was 6-6 in his first year. You can't kill Lincoln Riley if he doesn't win right out of the gate. But I love this hire for USC. I think it's great for the city.
Yep.
I think it's great for the Pac-12.
Yes.
I've said it a million times. Bergman disagrees with me because he roots for USC to lose every week. But
every week.
Greg, I know you don't want to hear this. When elite programs, heritage programs are good, it's better for the sport. It's good. It's better for the sport when the Lakers and the Celtics are good, when the Cowboys and the Raiders and the Packers and the Steelers are good. In college football, it's not good that USC's been terrible for 10 years, And Mace, the one thing that this hire says is, we're through messing around, all right? We're through with the Clay Heltons, the Sarks,
yep.
the, you know, we're going, you know, we're going to pay top dollar, and we're going to see what a private school can do if it says, screw it, we don't care how much it costs.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be a fascinating experiment, and I'm happy for you. I didn't know what type of mood you'd be in today because it was, and you and I haven't done a show in a while, but because it was such a bad weekend overall. The Lakers got tagged.
Terrible.
The Rams got tagged. You're now alone in last place in our fantasy football league.
John, my team is just turning a corner right now.
Well, you know, Christian McCaffrey, your number one pick, just got declared out for the season.
Yes, so and A.J. Brown is on injured reserve, too. I'm getting screwed by the injury bug, but I still believe I can avoid last place. Although, you know, I promised it, and I'll do it. If I finish in last place, I'm 4-7, alone in last place in the Hollywood Football League, I will shave one of my eyebrows.
One brow man.
Yeah,
I still think I'm going to dodge it.
Well, you've got time. You've got 5 weeks, but you're alone now in 12th place in a 12-team league.
Yeah, it's really
so
embarrassing.
So you're in trouble there. So I thought, okay, Rams lose. That normally sets your mood.
That pisses me off.
The fantasy football thing is not going to be, you know, anything. That
I lost all my mythical money.
You lost all your mythical money. And then the Dodgers let two stars walk.
Yeah.
They let Max Scherzer walk, and they let Corey Seager walk. But when I saw the Lincoln Riley news, I thought, that's such a bomb. That's such an unexpected big deal.
Yes.
That it might pull you out of any sports funk. Did it?
It did. It did pull me out of a sports funk, and it was a rough weekend. Yesterday was really rough. And by the way, aggravated by Bergman and Jorge right at the top of the show. Right at the very beginning, when I'm already in a sad, depressed, morose kind of mood, then I get that sort of reaction from, quote-unquote, the gang.
I was really
off to a bad start. But
Bergman,
no.
What do you have to say for yourself for that performance? That was unconscionable.
So, look, it was a bad decision. First of all, that was what it was. It was a bad decision. But this is the deal. Like, we were trying something. It didn't work.
We were.
So we're going to try something again another time. But, like, we just wanted him to get, like, we saw the game already. Everybody saw the game. So setting it up was not necessary. That was
I disagree that that's what
I disagree.
He was doing.
Yeah. I actually
I think
was talking
what he was
about
doing
Matthew
was
Stafford.
He was reverse. He was
it was bad timing.
Wait a minute. Greg, he was reducing retracting his stated position on Matthew Stafford. You know, Mason has been hailing Matthew Stafford as the Rams' savior and MVP candidate since the start of the year. And yesterday he admitted, and this is a pretty big admission for him, that the trade may not have been worth it. I still would have done the trade. I don't think you can go back with Jared Goff after the way he played, particularly late last year. And you had to try something else. Now the question is, was Matthew Stafford the best you could do? I think he was. Was there another quarterback out there you would have rather had them move on than him that changed teams? Probably
no,
not.
I don't think so. The change teams, no. He was the one guy. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was the other guy, but I didn't believe Green Bay was ever going to let him go.
Deshaun Watson has baggage.
A lot of it.
Maybe you talk Drew Brees out of retirement. I don't think he does it. I think Stafford was the best available person for the job. And like I said at the top of the show, he just needs to absolutely marry himself to not turning the ball over. If he fixes that one problem, I think they're right back to being a contender.
Yeah.
But it's a big problem to fix.
All right, coming up next for you, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. You never know what is going to be on the wheel of questions. Ireland put all the questions up there himself today. So all of Ireland's questions are on the wheel. We will find out what is on the wheel coming up next for you. Plus, I promise this, the Dodgers news that could come down today could break our way or break against us. That's coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah! What's going on? It is Tuesday. John's back. John has been off the show for how long? A week, maybe? Something like that.
Yeah, at least. And then Thanksgiving. So then added up to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, how was the big holiday? You got home just in time to celebrate it, right?
We have had, for whatever reason, we've been delayed on a lot of these flights. So I think I got back at like 4 in the morning on Thanksgiving. But it was fun. My mom
Lisa
made
turkey?
A ton of food. Yes, she did. Yeah, she cooked everything. We had a very, very big spread. So it was a lot to
be
thankful
for. Did you have people over? Did Myrna come?
Just my mom, yeah. Just my mom.
Nice.
So there's four of us. Where'd you do? You go to the desert?
No, went to La Jolla. Saw Juan's mom and stepdad in La Jolla. Had a great time. Yeah, I got kind of a nice choice when it comes to the holidays. Either La Jolla or Palm Springs. One or the other.
Yep. Not bad at all.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. All right, so it's time to spin the wheel of questions. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car just sitting around not doing anything, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota for a full cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Jorge, give her a spin.
Okay, this is interesting.
Hmm.
I think we'll probably all have different answers.
Okay.
If you rated the Friends cast, you know, Friends just did that reunion this year.
Yes.
From best to worst, what would your list look like?
Now, do you want character names or actor names? Actor names is probably easier.
Either one. Mine, I think, is pretty simple. Matthew Perry's the one. I thought he was the best one on the show. Lisa Kudrow's the two. I thought she had the best character. Phoebe was the most consistent character. Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox are 3-4 in whatever you want to put them. And then I would put Schwimmer fifth. No, I would put Matt LeBlanc fifth and Schwimmer sixth. How about you?
I would go, I would put Lisa Kudrow at number one.
That's no issue with that.
Just for the song Smelly Cat alone. I loved Joey way more than you did. I put Matt LeBlanc at number two.
Okay.
Jennifer Aniston, I put at number three. And then it's really close. I guess I'll give Courtney Cox number four and Schwimmer number five.
Not a Matthew Perry fan.
No, not a Matthew Perry fan. I put Matthew Perry fourth. And I'll put Courtney Cox and David Schwimmer. That's my order. David Schwimmer, by far, the least good friend. Like, he is,
Bergman,
he is the lowest on
think?
The friend power rankings.
So I'm agreeing with you, John. I think Matthew Perry Chandler was the best character. Then I have Jennifer Aniston and then Joey third. So Matt LeBlanc.
Where is the Lisa Kudrow look?
Oh,
yeah,
it's,
Kudrow,
no, well,
you
I'm
have
not
Kudrow
there yet.
In the bottom three?
Courtney Cox is next. Then I went David Schwimmer, and then I put Phoebe Lisa Kudrow last. She was the cause of every single issue on that show. Every one of them.
Go back and watch it again.
She
was the quirkiest character. She had the most to do.
She was quirky, but she caused every single problem.
Like what?
Everything that happened, she was always the spur to every problem that happened. Go back and watch it, and you'll look at it, and you'll see, wow, she is the cause of every problem.
When Ross cheated on Rachel, why was Phoebe the cause?
Yeah, why
of that?
Was Phoebe?
Well, no, it's, I mean, it wasn't that one thing. But like when they she
when
she caused
Chandler
the problems.
Kept going back to Janice. How was Phoebe the cause of that?
I mean, it's not okay. So maybe not every single one, but most of the time, Phoebe was the cause of every issue that happened throughout the entire show. She would spur it when they did the whole lobster thing. Like that was a whole thing where that she messed things up for the problems. There was a lot going on.
A traditional English trifle and. Put beef in it.
You can't be the problem. Like, I'm the problem on every part of this show. You can't be the problem of every of every part of the show.
Jorge, what's your list look like?
Rachel, Ross, Monica, Phoebe, Joey, and Chandler.
Why Rachel
number one? Phoebe's so low.
Because I have a thing for Rachel.
Exactly. That's why she's
the first argument Mason and I ever had on Mason in Ireland years and years and years ago was Courtney Cox or Jennifer Aniston. I was for Courtney Cox and Mason was for Jennifer Aniston. I think you probably won the war. I may have won the battle, but you won the war.
I did win the war because Jennifer Aniston still to this day,
looks great.
On top of being just beautiful, really talented. Are you watching The Morning Show? Do you watch that show?
I'm totally caught up. Yeah, I've watched both seasons.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a great show. So she's still out there doing. I don't know what Courtney Cox is doing, but Jennifer Aniston's still out there.
Jorge found something interesting that Kendrick Perkins said about Russell Westbrook and LeBron on today's NBA Today show. Play that, Jorge.
Over the last five games, Russ has played better. He's played better. And I thought even the game against Sacramento, see, this is what people have to realize we're playing with LeBron James, okay? Look. You got to be able to stand up to him and say, move out the way. Because when we watched that game against the Sacramento Kings, I thought Russ and Anthony Davis had something going in the two-man game, whether it was high pick and roll, whatever the case may be. I thought they had it going. And then all of a sudden, it went to that one side of the court, let's get it to Braun and everybody's space, and then the offense got stagnant. You have to be like a Rajon Rondo is to LeBron James when he's on the floor. Rondo don't have a problem with telling Braun, run, move out the way, I got it. Over the last five games, He's played better. And I thought Sacramento, see, this is what people have to realize we're playing against.
I would argue, Mace, that he has been. That Westbrook has been figuring out how to play with
LeBron. Oh, I completely do. I completely do. He's been, we were talking about before the show, he's cut down on his turnovers. He's able to carry the team offensively while things are, while LeBron is off the floor, when LeBron is off the floor or when LeBron is injured. I think Westbrook has sort of found himself. He's playing under control. He's not making big mistakes. I said this before, but I think Westbrook, you sort of take your lumps. Some nights he's going to be too wild. Some nights he's going to be right on the money. He's been right on the money lately. I just think at this point, if you look at the way the Lakers are playing, I mean, the way they defend, we talked about this earlier, and they cannot finish a quarter. And they blow big leads. I mean, they blew two leads against Sacramento.
11 times they've lost games, or 11 times this year they've blown double-digit leads. They haven't lost them all, but that's tied for the league lead with Cleveland.
And
yeah, they got to figure
off
that out.
The
but
top
Mace,
of your head, how many games they've won by 10 or more points?
Oh, boy, not many. If I had to guess, I'd say it's less than five.
It's one.
Yeah. Yeah. One they haven't really blown anybody out. But here's the thing. Anytime somebody comes to me and says, you know, starts complaining about why the Lakers have underachieved, and they don't use the word defense, then they're not watching the games. The offense does get stagnant, particularly at the end of games when LeBron does that thing where he lets the clock wind down and then he takes a three.
Yeah, sure.
But none of that would even be necessary if they fix the points in the paint and the defense. And the thing you should be encouraged by is finally in the last game, they shut down the paint. They're going to have to do it again tonight. De'Aaron Fox scored 34 points in the triple overtime loss on Friday. And because he just kept getting to his spots and getting to the rim. If they block off the paint, keep an eye. You know, points in the paint is a stat that's on most box scores.
Yes.
Keep an eye on that. If the Lakers get that under control, I think that they can contend. But they got to fix the defense. That's the number one thing.
All right, coming up next for you, I promise this, sorry I didn't get to it, the big decision that could come down for the Dodgers today, plus a surprise at free agent for the Dodgers, maybe, could come down before 9 o'clock Pacific time tonight when the lockout starts. That's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.